Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O gracious Heavenly Father, open our hearts to sincere worship, and open our lips to show forth your praise. Guide us through your Spirit to eliminate any sinful weaknesses which might interfere with our worship this morning, so that the total meditation of your people proclaims the excellencies of Jesus, who died that we might live, and lives that we may never die. In his saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn is hymn 707. We'll follow the order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. Our order of service comes from the worship supplement beginning on page 12. If you'd like to see the musical notation, you can find it in the worship supplement beginning on that page. We begin our worship service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing, we worship you. Through you our hearts we raise, Lord God.
pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the difficulties, challenges, and changes of this world. And at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is found in page 3. I will read selected verses of Psalm 62 responsively. For God alone my soul waits in silence.
From him comes my salvation.
He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress.
I shall not be ashamed.
How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They bless with their mouths. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. On God rests my salvation and my glory. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. In these verses, Jesus reminds us that he is the vine and we are the branches. We can only bear fruit if we are connected to him. And these thoughts will be closely connected with our sermon for today. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 4 in your bulletin.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 783.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the true vine and we his branches, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verses 19 through 25. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that is, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. During the summer months between my late high school and early college years, my brother Neil and I worked at a produce market just outside of the town we lived in, Saginaw, Michigan. The name of this market was Hemeter's Produce. George Hemeter was the farmer and the owner, and he was renowned for two things in that area: growing incredible sweet corn, but earlier in the summer, he was renowned for some pretty amazing strawberries, some of the best in the state. And when his strawberries would come in during about this time of the year, early July usually, it was hard to keep the shelves stocked with these strawberries. We usually sold them out completely. But we still had to sort them in the back room, take out some of the ones that maybe had rotted on the vine or just weren't big enough or not quite ripe enough yet. And even though we sold pretty much all of the strawberries, there were a few crates or even just a few quarts that were that needed to get thrown out with the rest of the rotten fruit and vegetables. So you can guess whose job it was to do that at the end of the night. It was my job and my brother Neil. So we'd go out there and throw away all this rotten fruit and all these rotten vegetables, and you would think that these amazing strawberries wouldn't actually be that bad. But you know what I believed was the worst smelling, just most disgusting fruit or vegetable to throw away during those summer months? It was the strawberries. I don't think I've ever smelled a fruit that's so good or tasted so good and smelled so good that could be so nasty and so disgusting when it was rotten. In our text, Paul talks about fruit. He talks about bad fruit, rotten fruit, and he talks about good fruit. Things that are produced by the Spirit of God in the believer, and things that are produced by our sinful flesh. As Christians, we are, as Luther said it, both saint and sinner at the same time. So you can picture us as kind of being like a strange tree that produces at the same time both bad fruits and good fruits. The question we'll ask ourselves this morning is, what kind of fruit are we producing? The rotten, foul-smelling fruits of the flesh, or the sweet, perfectly ripe fruit of the Spirit? Sometimes when you're at the grocery store and you're trying to pick out fruit, you need some help to determine whether or not the fruit is ripe. I know when I worked at that produce market, I learned a little bit about how to pick a melon, for example, what makes for a good ripe melon. But if a fruit is rotten, you don't need anyone's help to figure out that fruit is bad. It's gone bad. It smells. It looks disgusting. So it's the same way with the putrid, rotten fruits of the flesh. Paul actually starts off by saying, the works of the flesh are evident. They are obvious. And Paul goes on to list a very lengthy list of some of these obvious sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery,
hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. These are the fruits that we produce by nature as human beings. As you can see, it's not a pretty picture. Take a closer look at these fruits and you'll see exactly how rotten these fruits of the flesh are. Look at the first four that Paul lists: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. We would put them in the category of sexual sins, sins against God's sixth commandment. Those types of sins are not just dangerous because they are physically and emotionally harmful to us, but most of all, worst of all, they can harm us spiritually. If we keep saying no to God's commands and His decrees about our sexuality, what we are and are not to do with our bodies, to save sex only for marriage, when we say no to His commands and say yes to our sexual desires, we push Him away. We continue to push Him away further and further, and those sins then drive a wedge between us and God that pushes Him further away from us. In turn then, we begin to make things like pleasure and sexual gratification the motivating force and factor in our lives. Look at the second group of the fruits of the flesh that Paul lists. He lists idolatry and sorcery. Those two sins in particular are sins against God Himself, because they're sins against His first commandment: "You shall have no gods before Me." They're also sins against the second commandment: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Again, those types of rotten fruit threaten to weaken and even destroy our relationship with our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Savior Jesus. The third group that Paul lists: hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, and murders. Those are all sins against our neighbor, sins against other people. Those fruits of the flesh are also destructive. They can destroy relationships, families, and entire lives. And the worst part about those kinds of fruits is the same thing. They have an effect and can be destructive when it comes to our spiritual health and our spiritual lives. And the fourth and final group that Paul lists are drunkenness and revelries. The NIV translates that second sin as orgies. Those are sins of absolute excess, destructive, degrading acts that show an absolute absence of self-control. Think of the spiritual damage and destruction that can be caused by those types of sins, as well as the potentially devastating physical and emotional damage that they could cause as well. Well, as ugly and harmful and destructive as these fruits of the flesh are, the really bad news is that they are exactly what our human nature not only produces, but it's what our human nature, our sinful nature, actually wants to produce. That might not sound accurate at first, but think about it. Just look around during your week. Does it appear that we actually, as sinful human beings, want to produce these fruits of the flesh? And the answer is obviously yes. Pay attention to TV, internet, and radio, or billboards as you're driving about or going about your days this week. It won't take you long to realize that these fruits of the flesh are produced in mass quantities. And buying and selling these fruits of the flesh is big business, because that is what mankind, what we all, by nature, want to hear, see, and do. However, think back again to that illustration about the rotten strawberries. How long do you think Farmer George would have let a strawberry plant grow if it just kept producing rotten fruit? Not long. What good would this rotten fruit-producing plant do for him? The plant was not made for that job. It was made to produce good fruit, not rotten fruit. In the same way, God did not create man to produce rotten fruits of the flesh. Therefore, Paul says, just as I also told you in the past time that those who practice such things, these fruits of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. We were not created originally to produce those fruits of the flesh. Therefore, if we continue in those things, Paul says, and practice those things, we will not inherit God's kingdom in the end. Now, I know for a fact that I've produced in mass quantities at times many of these fruits of the flesh. If not in word or deed, for sure in thought. And if the rest of you are living, breathing human beings as well, it's safe to bet that you've produced many of these fruits of the flesh in your lives as well. So should these words of Paul frighten us, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, those words should at least make us pause and take notice, take a closer look at what Paul is saying, and then closely examine our hearts and lives. Take inventory of our lives and ask ourselves again, what kind of fruit are we producing? First of all, understand what Paul is saying here. He's speaking of a pattern, a consistent lifestyle that says, though, when he says, those who practice such things. And the Greek there makes it very plain. Literally, he is saying, those who continue to do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he's pointing to a lifestyle that is completely void of any repentance or faith, and simply follows these patterns of the fruits of the flesh. If we find ourselves following that pattern, producing these fruits of the flesh, and find ourselves excusing or ignoring our sins, and repentance and faith in Christ are not in our hearts, then we should be frightened. God is serious about sin, and Paul's words here in this text prove it. Those who practice such things, he says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, that's a lot of bad news. That's like a page and a half, or almost 2 pages of bad news. It's time for some good news. God is so serious about sin, in fact, that he sacrificed his only son to pay the punishment for all of those sins. That big, giant list of horrible, despicable, rotten fruit in those first few verses, that's what Jesus came to die for, to pay for, to wash away completely in you and in me. Forgiveness for those rotten fruits, all of those rotten fruits that we've produced, is found only through faith in him, in Jesus Christ, and in his perfect sacrifice for us. Paul tells us those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That sinful flesh that still lives inside each one of us, that only wants to produce those rotten fruits, that flesh has been crucified with Jesus, killed on his cross. It no longer has any power over us. We belong to Christ. We are Christ's. We have his power living in us. We can rely on his strength to produce good fruits, fruits that please God. These fruits do not come naturally to us. They're not natural products of our sinful, dead human hearts. And that's why they're not called the fruits of the flesh or fruits of people. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. And these fruits are only produced by the power of Christ through his Holy Spirit. What does the Spirit use to grow and produce those fruits in our hearts and lives? Well, he uses the power of his Word. The Word written and spoken, and the Word also as it's contained in the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. You can think of that as being like the soil, the fertilizer, and the water that cause that seed of faith to grow and to produce some very unnatural fruit in our lives. Fruit that is nothing like the natural fruit that we produce, the fruits of the flesh, but instead fruit that is like a sweet-smelling, sweet-tasting fruit that pleases God. This week, when you go to the grocery store, I want you to pay attention to the type of fruit that you are buying for your family or buying for yourself. Pay attention to the look, the smell, and the ripeness of the fruit that you're buying for yourself, for your family, and the people that you love. I'm willing to bet that you would not willingly pick and choose to buy moldy, rotten, smelly fruit for yourself or for your family. In the same way, these fruits of the Spirit are the complete opposite of the fruits of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We could categorize these fruits into groups as well, just like the fruits of the flesh. The first group that Paul lists, love, joy, and peace, we could describe them as being inner qualities that reflect our relationship to God as Christians. The second group, patience, kindness, and goodness, those are outer qualities that show themselves in our attitudes and actions toward our fellow human beings. And the third group that Paul lists, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, reflect how we as new men and women in Christ conduct ourselves in regards to the obligations and opportunities that are ours as our Christian call, that are ours in our Christian calling. And just compare then how opposite those fruits of the Spirit are with the fruits of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit begins with love. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13:10 says. One of the fruits of the flesh is hatred. The fruit of the Spirit is selflessness, generosity, kindness, and goodness toward others. Some of the fruits of the flesh are selfish ambition, jealousy, and envy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, peace with God and our fellow man. The fruit of the flesh is contention and dissension. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The fruit of the flesh is drunkenness and orgies. Which kind of fruit would you rather have? Which kind of fruit would you rather give to others, to your loved ones, and to your God? What kind of fruit are we producing? Thanks be to God that we are Christ's, and because we are Christ's, we have crucified our flesh with its passions and desires through daily repentance, coming to the foot of Christ's cross to find forgiveness and new life. Thanks be to God that He has given us His Spirit to produce those fruits of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Paul says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God help us all to do this through His Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Please be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Continue with our next hymn, hymn 691.
Please rise. We have a number of prayer requests for today. First of all, if you look in your bulletin, you'll notice that the Mission Helper Trip team that's going to Nepal is leaving tomorrow. We'll say a prayer for the Lord's blessings on their work. We also have prayers requested again for Wayne's daughter, Michelle. She's going in on Tuesday to have her thyroid surgery. We pray for the Lord's safety and care for her and also for a complete recovery. We also pray for Terry's friends, Ginny and Val. Ginny is the one who needs insulin. Val. Val needs insulin. And right now they're just plain not able to afford the expense. So we've asked the Lord to bless them and to provide for them as he has promised to do. We also will say a prayer for the family of Sue Blank and her mother, Beth. If some of you know Timothy and Sue Blank, they're members in East Bay. Beth is Sue's mom. She's a member there as well. Her husband, Richard, has been sick for a number of years, quite a few years actually, and just this past evening he passed away. So we say a prayer for their family today in both of our services as well. We bring these prayers to our Father's throne. Are there any other prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are our vine and we are your branches. We pray that you would move us through your Spirit and through your Word to grow in you and to produce good fruits in our lives. Keep us from sin and help us by your strength to defeat all temptation. Help us to live as your children and to spread your gospel to others. We pray that that gospel would be spread through the Mission Helper trip that's leaving for Nepal tomorrow. We ask you to give safety and guidance to the team. We pray that their word that they spread would grow in the hearts of the people of Nepal, and that there would be comfort and joy spread to the nation there. Be with Pastor Raju as he leads that team and bless the efforts of our brothers and sisters in Christ in that region of the world. We continue to pray, Lord, for Michelle and her thyroid surgery on Tuesday. In your hands, Lord, are the issues of life and death. We thank you that you are a great physician and you are a God of love and pity. You are especially concerned about the welfare of those you have made your own children through faith in Christ. And so into your fatherly keeping, we commend Michelle, imploring you that if it be your will, you not only spare her life in the surgery that she's about to undergo, but we ask you also to repair and restore her body completely. Guide the hands of the surgeon and lend skill to all who assist him. Give her strength to bear patiently and prayerfully any suffering that may result from this surgery. And use this experience to draw her heart even more closely to you. Encourage her to cast all her cares upon you and to trust without failing that you care for her. Give calm assurance to her family and friends and all of her loved ones who are anxious about her welfare and who are praying for a speedy and full recovery from her illness. May their hope not be put to shame. We leave all these things in your good and gracious will, in Jesus' name. We also pray, Lord, that you would be with Ginny and Val. Dear Lord, provide for their needs. We ask that you would allow them to be able to provide for the insulin that Val needs. You can do all things, Lord, and we trust in your goodness and your grace to provide all their needs, both in their bodies, but most importantly, for their souls. Draw all of us closer to you, Lord, daily through your word. In your name we pray these things as we pray now in your name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We close with hymn 698. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and we welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to come back and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements. I'm happy to announce that Tuesday and Thursday this week and during the summer, I'll be having catechism classes with two of our young members down in the Los Angeles area, Kevin and Katrina Fossum. We'll do that at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the summer, and then they'll also carry on in the school year as well on Wednesday evenings. A reminder, this Thursday we have a Board of Ed meeting at 6:30. We'll be meeting at my house. Our teacher will be gone this week, so we're going to have the meeting at my place, 6:30 on Thursday. Next Sunday we have our usual schedule of Bible class at 8:45, worship service with communion at 10 a.m., and then we'll have a VBS meeting at 11 a.m. For those who are interested in helping staff and teachers. Reminder that our VBS is coming up July 24th through 28th, 9 to 11:30. And then our church picnic will be at the end of that week, July 30th, and that will be a joint worship service with the members from East Bay as well. Please do pray for the mission helpers to Nepal. You see some information in the back pages of your bulletin there. And also, I didn't draw attention to this last week, but I meant to. We are due for the Slice of Life in the CLC article. It'll come out in the October Spokesman, but we have to turn it in by August 1st. You can see some of the details in the back page of the bulletin. What I need from you, if you have them, are some digital photos of some maybe significant events in church or a good picture of a historical event in the congregation. We will plan on having our picture day, a congregational picture, after the worship service on July 30th. Hopefully we'll have a majority of our people there on that Sunday to take that picture. And if you have any historical summaries from anniversaries, please send them my way as well. I can probably write pretty well about the last 6 months of this congregation, but there's about 49 and a half years that I don't know that much about, so be reliant on some of those things. Pastor Rhyme gave me one for the 25th. If anyone has anything more recent, please share it with me. Again, those are due August 1st. This is my fifth one I've had to do, by the way, because I had three previous congregations, and then last month was East Bay, and this is West Bay. So I'm getting good at writing them, but they're challenging. A lot to do. And one more insert today, the kinship update for July. Please keep that in your prayers. We are looking for sponsors and quite a few sponsors. So the details are in that update. And if you have any questions, you can either check the website for kinship or speak with me. I'm the secretary of that kinship committee. Any other announcements I'm forgetting today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.